This is Steve Coleman with your Daily Inspiration. I'd like to continue this day as we look at how great is Jesus. And so I've just been doing a survey through the book of Hebrews. What an encouragement just to read the wonderful passages here talking about the freedom from the law and the works that didn't make a man righteous, only led a man to Christ. And then what a wonderful Savior we have. In Hebrews chapter 4, we find this verse in verse 15. It says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And so as I go through here in the latter part of the book of Hebrews, we find so many verses about the greatness of Christ's priesthood. You know, yesterday we looked at the greatness of Jesus. He was God's Son. He's heir of all. He made the worlds. He was glorious. He has the character of God. He upholds all and better than the angels and so on. But today, what we want to look at is we want to focus in on the priesthood. The priest is the one that stood in the Old Testament. He was the character that stood between God and man. He was a mediator. A mediator means literally that, someone who stands in the middle. So if there was a dispute among two men and there was a mediator, that mediator would get involved and would temper that dispute, you know, would mediate between the two. And so the priest in the Old Testament, that's the position that he had, was that position of being between man and God. And, you know, people tend to like a priest because then it's like the nation of Israel said to Moses, "Well, you go up and talk to him, but as for us, we're afraid." And I'm afraid, beloved, that's the condition that many of us are in. But anyway, what we find is that there was a priesthood in the Old Testament. There was priestcraft. There was a whole tribe that was devoted to the service at the temple and to intervening between the nation of Israel and God. And you know, we see that come through in the Catholic Church. They've just put a little bit of a New Testament spin on basically an Old Testament concept. But beloved, that's missing the point, because the point that we have here, as we read in Hebrews, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You know, what a disappointment if there's a high priest and that high priest doesn't understand what it is to be tempted the way we've been tempted. You know, always lived a different kind of a life and never had these experiences that we have. But it says here that Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That, beloved, is the reason that he was able to be a perfect sacrifice, because he suffered himself. He allowed himself to be tempted in every way that we were, and yet never sinned. So that's the sympathetic nature of our high priest. Let us therefore, it says, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Therefore is because he allowed himself to be tempted in all points. If Jesus hadn't allowed himself to be tempted, then we would be ashamed to come and say, I'm in need right now. But, you know, he was tempted in that same way. Whatever the temptation is, that whenever I consider that this passage and I think about the amazing, the number of things that I'm tempted in, and then I ponder on the number of places where, hey, there's no temptation to me at all, and yet I know my brother or my sister is tempted in those areas. And then I think about Jesus allowing himself, not only did he take on every one of my temptations so that I could come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain the grace that I need in time of need, but then so can my brother. And so if you think about an earthly, a fleshly priest, that fleshly priest can't do that. They can't offer that sympathetic ear that allows us to come boldly and say, hey, I'm in need. So not only is he a sympathetic high priest, he's also our source of mercy. Now, I'm skipping a lot of really good verses here, but I'd like to read this little passage in chapter 7 at the tail end of Hebrews 7. And it says, "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." So not only is he a sympathetic high priest, but his priesthood doesn't change. And why? It's based on the permanency of Christ. The high priest that we have now is not one that's going to get changed every year or periodically. He's not one that dies. He is an unchangeable, because he continueth ever, he hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able, because of his unchangeable priesthood, because of that, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. So what could the old priestcraft do? Well, I suppose there was some salvation, but it wasn't to the uttermost. But see, it doesn't matter, beloved, how long it takes for your salvation to get worked out. Then Jesus Christ, his priesthood continues forever. So he is able to save from the beginning to the end all those that come to him, seeing as he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Beloved, what a blessing. Think about this. God left his throne in glory, came down, dwelt among men, allowed himself to be tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin, offered himself as a perfect sacrifice on the cross, died, was buried, rose again, ascended into heaven, and now he ever lives to make intercession. Isn't that no priest on earth can claim? Now, I don't care whether you go to Islam, and I don't care whether you go to Buddhism or any one of the contortions of Christianity or any other religion, no one can say that they ever live to make intercession for their people, but Jesus Christ does. "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Consider this. How great is Jesus, is the question that I'm continuing on today. How great. He is holy, harmless. He is undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. "Who needeth not daily," as those high priests, "to offer up sacrifice." You know, they couldn't. They couldn't offer a sacrifice for my sin until they offered a sacrifice for their sin. But Jesus Christ, he never has to offer a sacrifice for his sin. "He needeth not daily, as those other high priests, to offer up a sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." Glory, hallelujah. The high priest that we now have is not a high priest that has infirmity. It's not any man. The law makes high priests out of men, and men have infirmities. And so here they are trying to help someone else, and when they themselves need help. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not the case with him. He is consecrated forevermore. So he is greater than the priesthood of the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 6, "But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry." He has a more excellent ministry. How great is Jesus? Well, you know, he's greater than the angels. He's greater than people. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than the priests. He's greater than Moses. We looked at that one. And here he even has a greater ministry. He has obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also he is the mediator. Okay, there's that word again. He is the one that stands between God and man. So there was the mediators in the Old Testament, and he is the mediator of the New Testament. It says a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. So, beloved, which mediator do you want to look to? It amazes me how clear it is in the book of Hebrews and so many other books, how that God wants us to look away from the Old Testament and look to Christ. And so he is here, it said, he has a more excellent ministry. He is the mediator of a better covenant. So his ministry is more excellent, and his covenant is better. And then let's just look here one more in verse 11. Why is his covenant better? They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Oh, would to God this would be fulfilled in our day. But do you realize how much this is every day and almost every church setting? We find this very passage here. They teach, the people teach one another, saying, here's how you know the Lord. Here's what you have to do to know the Lord. Here's what you have to know. Oh, you had a dream. Oh, well, you know what the color, this color means, or this number means, or whatever. And this is how you, what you have to do. Oh, you need to do this in order to know the Lord. But it says here, they shall not do that anymore. See, that was the stuff of the Old Testament. It was taste not, touch not, handle not. But now, it says, but now all shall know me from the least to the greatest. All shall know. Well, beloved, isn't that a blessing? Isn't that the greatness of Christ? That somehow through Christ, no longer is it necessary to have some kind of a lesson that says, don't do this and don't do that, but that all shall know. So I hope you've been encouraged. I've definitely been encouraged bringing the daily inspiration here the last while. And do go ahead and give us a message on the voicemail if you'd like to. That's mailbox 99. And we do encourage you to continue in your walk, to continue faithful, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. He hath obtained a more excellent ministry, and he is also able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. So, beloved, don't try to come to God by some other way, but try to come by Jesus Christ. God bless you.